tonight, believe it or not. At least the first couple nights. Not going to do any preaching. So, I got to go back to work. I forgot my notes. That's okay. So to say at least, this will probably be either the longest message you ever heard or the shortest. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to glasses to Matthew chapter 13. I actually have an introduction. So Matthew chapter 13. I just appreciate the opportunity to minister to God's people. And like any of our men that ever preach in this pulpit, it's not something that we take lightly. It's not only a privilege, it's a real responsibility. I appreciate that the Lord gave me this opportunity to serve Him. All right, I can remember when I first got saved. And everybody here should be able to go back to that time. And I remember how... I said I was going to preach.
Go on, man.
But I just remember how excited I was. I mean, I didn't know a whole lot. I was really confused when I first got saved. I thought I ended up in an evangelical church with a bunch of Norwegians. Everybody had blonde hair. I thought I had to go dye my hair to become a Christian. I was really... didn't know what was going on. But I knew one thing. I knew one thing, that I was saved. I knew that absolutely, positively, for sure. And that's probably one of the greatest things that could ever happen to you in your life. So naturally, like a newborn babe in Christ, I wanted to get out there. I wanted to do something. I was excited. I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I wanted to do something. So, you know, a little timidly, you know, saw a gospel track. I was like, oh, yeah, that's good. All right, this ain't Taekwondo, but... So I remember going to the gym and just kind of leaving tracks on the counter, going to my parents' home, and you know, they kept all the liquor, leaving a little track on the counter. I was still afraid. You want to fight? Let's go. But I was afraid to give a guy a track. And I remember, you know, a guy that was with the gym. He says, "Oh, yeah, why you got tracks? I'll give him out." So it kind of encouraged me. So I was ready at that point. I was ready. I knew what the Lord wanted me to do. I knew what I needed to do. And I was pretty much prepared. I was prepared for people to reject the gospel. So in Matthew 13, just, you know, to set up our introduction, let's go down to verse 4. And everybody probably knows, you know, this parable. And it's in verse 4 it says, "And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of root. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear." You know, I had that. I had it down. I was prepared. I was ready. People do not want the gospel. People were going to reject the gospel. All right, I'm set. I'm ready for that. The scripture told me this is going to happen. I knew it. Not everybody's going to get saved. And then it happened. I'm going out, trying to get out a track, and I hand this guy a track. He says, "What is this?" I says, "This is a gospel track. About the religious." "Well, I don't believe in God." I was like, I felt like Ralph Crandom. I wasn't prepared for that. I was so used to people saying, "Well, you know, I've been a Catholic for 2,000 years in my family. My father was a Catholic. My mother was a Catholic. My grandparents were Catholic. And I'm going to die." That's what I was ready for. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have a clue. Okay. You know, Lord, I didn't have a clue what to do with this guy. And if you haven't been in that position, believe me, it's going to come. You're going to, and it's more prevalent now, I think, than it was when I first got saved. They're the people with all the answers, unfortunately. They have all the answers. You know, God doesn't exist anymore. Oh, he's dead. God died years ago. He's not alive anymore. Oh, that's archaic. You know, it's like our Bibles. Archaic. And how could you read that King James Bible? No intelligent person could believe that there is one all-powerful being who created and controls the universe. That's what they think. And they don't believe in Satan either, because if they believed in Satan, they have to believe in the Lord. I mean, you know who these people are. Morons. Nah, you've got to be politically correct. The Bible calls them fools. Fools. And unfortunately, you know, the Lord died for them. And when they die, they're going to have one of those aha moments. I remember reading a statement by former President Jimmy Carter. Not a fan of the guy, but I respect him. And one of the things he said that I'll never forget, he says, as a boy, when he grew up, he thought everybody was a Christian. He thought it was just natural. A natural thing, like breathing, like taking a breath. He thought everybody was a Christian. You know, those boys in the South, you know, they got a couple things right. When I was a young Christian and first got saved, I mean, I was in shock. I was in shock that there was actually somebody out there who doesn't believe in the existence of an almighty God. When this guy told me this, I was shocked. You know, I was too used to be dealing with, you know, the Catholics and the Episcopalians and even the Jews, you know. At least they believed in God. You had some common ground. You had some place to go. I used to love to deal with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Used to love dealing with them. You know, now it's, you know, round robin, but I liked it. But to deal with somebody who, I mean, how do you witness to this guy? What are you going to say to him? Hey, you know, you're an idiot to begin with. You're an idiot for believing that. Who would believe there's a God? Are you crazy? Just couldn't believe someone would actually reject that. The unfortunate thing with this, they're usually very well-educated people. Already have this well thought out. Just waiting for an opportunity to run into some born-again Bible believer who's going to present them the gospel. This guy was primed and ready. He couldn't wait. And he knew he had me. Because I didn't have the answer. I did in here. I knew what I experienced, but I didn't have the answer for this guy. I just thank God there's some people with educations that don't think this way. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I have a lot of scripture written down. I don't know if we're going to get to all of it. But you know what? This is First Bible Church. And I started in Bible Baptist Church. And we turn pages and we use the Bible. So tonight, I make no apologies. First Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 26. The only way to deal with any situation is using the Word of God. In verse 26 it says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." You know, when the Lord went to the streets, I don't think he seeked out the wise because he already knew where they were coming from. When you need a physician, you don't go to him. Well, things are changing today, but I guess with prices, you don't go to a physician when you're healthy. You wait till you're sick. And you wait for the time that you're not feeling good. That's when you seek help. And that's the way the Lord dealt with a lot of people. unfortunately, you know, the Lord gives us prescriptions and medications, and just like when the doctor gives it to me, I don't listen to them and don't do what they say anyhow. I get medications and I put them in the cabinet. Never going to get better that way. People who do not believe in God, people who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, are naturally opponents to the Bible. If they admit the Bible is true, if they admit the Bible is real, they have to admit there's a God. The Bible is the Word, was made flesh. It's the living God. It's our access to the throne of grace. That is one of the reasons they hate the Bible. They hate the Word of God so much. Because they would have to admit the truth. I used to watch a program about the American Atheist Society on Staten Island. It used to be on cable TV. And, you know, I always, you know, I would watch it, and I would listen to them, and I always wanted to do the Christian thing, meet them in the street, and, you know, just let them have it, you know, in the name of the Lord. But I give them, you know, the Lord dying for them too. But, you know, they have a great deal of influence. I remember watching the show. What they would do, they would display gospel tracts. Man, they would mock us. They would twist everything you said. You know, just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I mean, you know. They have no problem with the Catholic Church. They have no problem. Well, they have problems with the Jews. They have no problems with all the other organized religions. No problem with them. But a born-again Bible believer, man, you've got a target on your back. The atheists hate you. I wonder why. Why don't they bother everybody else? Because the rest of them are dead. They're no threat to them. But boy, they sure know about us. So the devil doesn't really mess with the other religions because, hey, religion has taken a lot of people to hell. Why mess with something that's working good? You know? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So that's why they seem to target us. And unfortunately, there are a lot of religious people. Very religious. I work with a lot of them. You know what? In their heart, they don't believe there's a God. But they're religious. You know, they do the church thing. You know, that's what they do. You know, they want to, just in case, I want to cover my base. Just in case I want that back door, just in case there is a God. That's what most people do. And unfortunately, there are Christians, born-again Bible believers who are happy with just being saved, kind of live like there is no God. Fortunately, if you're in the Word of God and you have the Spirit of God, that usually gets straightened out pretty quick. You know, you get saved. I mean, you don't want to get too religious. I mean, let's not get fanatical about the thing. You might as well hang out with the atheists. What's the point? The Lord didn't die on the cross so you could go to heaven. And, you know, and I've been guilty at this at times, so, you know. Right? Pastor Dean just said, you point your finger. Yeah. Got quite a few of them pointing back. Not all men believe in God. So they say. But all men worship some kind of God. One way or the other. I don't care what they tell you. Everybody has a God. Everybody. Well, they want to admit it or not. They do. But if you're not focused on the Savior, if you're not focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, most of their gods are created by them. And most of their gods are self-serving. Or, which is pretty prevalent now from the observations that I've seen. They make themselves gods or as gods. Sounds awfully familiar. In fact, we'll go there. Isaiah 14. I mean, a lot of this is nothing new. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. So history always seems to repeat itself, and the one thing man never learns from history is doesn't learn anything from history. Just read your Bible and you'll find that out real quick. Isaiah 14, this is familiar stuff. Look in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, where do you get saved? Thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart. Remember, it's always a heart thing. Always a heart thing. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. That's what people do today. Go to Isaiah 46. In verse 5, to whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that you may like me? They languish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith and maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. A lot of that going on today. Just look at the stocks on Facebook. They bear him up. The shoulders, they carry him, they set him in his place, and he standeth. For his place shall be not removed. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Those are the gods that men set up. Remember this, and show yourself men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me.
Amen.
I love the Old Testament. I'm really drunk. I remember when I first got saved and I started reading it. First of all, I said, oh my gosh, I got to read? And then I started reading, like, oh, Lord, please. There's got to be an easier way than this. Especially when you start trying to pronounce all these, who we got this guy and that guy and that guy. I used to get there and just skip over the names and look where it picked up again. Now I know if that guy's name is important enough to God to put in the Bible, now, man, how hard it is, I'm going to read his name. My name ain't written in there. It's written in the Book of Life, but it's not written in there. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 5. Men set up their own gods. Oh, I don't believe in God. You're so full of it. They create their own gods. They worship themselves. 1 Samuel chapter 5. Starting in verse 1. I love some of this stuff. This stuff cracks me up. I mean, if you say God don't have a sense of humor, well, I'll tell you. Some stuff is funny. We all know this story. And the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it in from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of God. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they arose early on the morrow, morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon was both, the palms and the hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left, to him. So now they worship Stumpy. But that's the kind of gods that people serve today. The same thing. They're dead, useless gods. They don't believe in God. But they'll worship their car. They'll worship their jobs. They'll worship their money. They'll worship their gold. All that stuff is going to tumble over, and the head's going to bust off, and the hands are going to bust off, and they'll be serving Stumpy. I mean, I would love to go to Elijah and the prophets of Baal, but that's the last message I'm preaching. But I get the biggest kick out of that one. That's my favorite. Oh, you know, gee, maybe he's on vacation. Oh, maybe he's sleeping and you got to wake him up. And they were religious people. Cutting themselves, you know, throwing themselves upon the altar. Now, you know, I don't want to get into that, though. But I love that. I love that portion of Scripture. But God has a sense of humor about it. Go to Haggai chapter 1. I mean, these are the gods that people serve. I don't believe in God. Yeah, you're so full of it. If this isn't the God that people worship today, let's see. Go down to Haggai chapter 1, look down, and I know it takes a little time to find. I got a piece of paper there, so it was easy. It only took me a half hour to find it. No, I'm looking. Go down to verse 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Oh, that's not what I want. I want to go further up. Go to verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and in this house lieth waste spiritually. A lot of Christians, their house spiritually lays to waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have so much, and bring in little. You eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages, to put him into a bag with the holes. Boy, if that isn't the gods that people serve today, the housing market crashed. The price of gasoline, I don't even want to talk about it, gives me a heart attack. The stock market, pension plans. Those are the gods that people were relying upon. Those are the gods. Guess what? Man, they might as well be serving Dagon. They just fell over. Just fell over. I like that part. You know, you take that money and you put it in your pocket. The money falls through the holes. That's the truth. But you know what? As a Christian, there was never a day I wasn't able to tithe. Even when I was out of work. I'll lose my job tomorrow because I forgot my cell phone tonight. Whatever. My God took care of me. If your God is your pension plan or your job or Wall Street, you're in a lot of trouble. You're in a lot of trouble. Okay, we're done with the introduction. All right. So have you ever been challenged? Does anybody ever challenge you? Hey, prove to me there's a God. Well, you know what? You prove to me there isn't. I got more proof there is a God than you do. But this is all that they're pumped with. Day after day after day. This world, it's easy to send people to hell if they don't believe in God. If religion don't get them, the atheist will. Just put on public TV. It's a nice thing to sit and watch. I miss Mr. Rogers. Sesame Street used to be good. Put on any simple nature show. You know, I know my sister likes to watch that stuff. Cry when they get eaten by other animals. It's the way of nature, you know. Somebody's got to die. Nobody's got to eat. Watch any of their science programs. And I used to love to watch that stuff. But you know what? They push it down your throat like it's a fact that God doesn't exist. And they make you feel like you're a fool if you believe that. And there are, I know on the crazy TV system we got, there's about four or five public television stations, and they all shove that down your throat. Like it's a fact. I feel sorry for, you know, our guys in here that are teachers. I don't know how Ed Keeley deals with it. I mean, he's a science teacher, isn't he? Wow. He must be an oddball in school. He's an oddball anyhow. He must be like an oddball in school. This guy's teaching science, and he believes the book of Genesis. Praise God. But they push it down your throat like it's a fact. It is hard for people to believe in something that they cannot see, or they can use their natural senses to prove. But the Bible proves that in men's heart, even if they deny it, in their heart they know and they believe there is a God. They can deny it all they want. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You ever hear somebody who's not a Christian cry out, "Oh my God, where'd that come from?" That's embedded in them. Jesus Christ. Why not yell Buddha? Muhammad. They're probably afraid to yell that one. You know why they don't call out to those guys? Because there's no help. They're not taking the Lord's name in vain. They're calling out to Him in vain. I forgot what we were. Oh, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We'll use our senses. You know, I see all the lights on in the building here. You know, I walk to my house, I turn on the switch, turn on the air conditioner, which I'll probably be doing tonight. I cannot see that electric. I don't see it. I don't see that electric flowing. I don't see that current. But I see the results. I can deny all I want that there's such a thing as electricity. There's the proof. I can grab hold of a phase one hot wire. 220 volts. I can stand there and hold it. Nothing's happening. See, there is no God. There's no such thing as electricity. And as soon as I grab myself out, boom! That's why I keep my ears short. It's there. Just because you can't see it, just because you can't feel it, it's there. It exists. You could deny that God exists all you want. This is going to be any good. He's there. And I've experienced it. I cannot see the wind. I can see what it does. Just look at Hurricane Katrina. You know, a cyclone, you can't see it until it starts picking up debris. But I can feel the wind. I can feel it when it blows on my skin and cools me off. I can deny all I want that the wind doesn't exist. But it's there. The evidence is there. Go to John chapter 20. You know, familiar stuff. Verse 24. You know, after the resurrection. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my fingers in the parts of the nails, the prints of the nails, and thrust my hand to his side, I will not believe." Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not true. And he had a rude awakening when he showed up the second time. I do not find anywhere in the Bible, with someone denying the existence of God. You won't find it. It's not there. What you will find is people rebelling against the true God, or they're worshiping false gods. But you won't find anybody in there saying, "Gee, there is no God." The Pharaoh knew there was a God. Most of the people that heard Israel coming all feared, because they feared the God of Israel. His reputation preceded himself. One of the reasons all that stuff happened with the Pharaoh, one of the reasons they parted the Red Sea and walked upon dry ground, one of the reasons that all those chariots were wiped out and washed up on the shore, was so the world would know that there's a God in Israel. It's throughout the Scriptures. You won't find people in the Bible denying there's a God. Now, someone's going to come up to me at the service and go, "Oh, you know, it's over here. I'm going, "Ah, shit. I didn't point it." How's that? That's better. Man seems to have a desire to worship a God. In all the cultures. You do any research. I mean, they go out to the remote areas of, I think it was New Guinea and Australia. Even the American Indians believed in some kind of God. Every culture believed in some kind of God. Right, wrong, or indifferent. They believed there was a God. Where does that come from? Who taught them that? It's been out there before men. Go to Acts 17. I like this one. I like them all. I get excited about the Word of God, so it doesn't matter. You know, when I was reading this, you know, preparing this, I go, you know, I don't know who this is for, but boy, I'm having a good time with it. You know, I remember Pastor Mel used to always say, "It doesn't matter, man. Get that shotgun or that blunderbuss, just point it, squeeze it, it's bound to hit somebody." Okay, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." You know, they were trying to cover all their bases like they do today. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom ye therefore ye ignorantly worship him. Declare I unto you.'" Yes, sir. I know who the unknown God is. What a one thing that really stuck in my craw. Till this day, after 9/11, they brought all the preachers to New York City. They had Muslim guy there, Baptist guy there. You know, you name the denomination, they were there, because everybody wanted peace and love and that. As Mel would say, "Gag a maggot in a gut wagon." And they were all praying. The Muslim guy mentioned Allah's name. But all the other ones, "God, God." What are you, idiots? You're worshiping the unknown God. I know his name. I know who he is. the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't worship the unknown God. Maybe you do. Have at it. Boy, every time I think about that, I get annoyed. Well, Romans chapter 2. Even then, it might have been an unknown God. They didn't know who it was, but they believed in something. They knew in man's being, in his heart, no matter how much they deny they believe in God, you're a liar. You know there's a God. Or you're serving or worshiping some kind of man-made God that you have. But it's inbred in a man. A man is born with it. Romans chapter 2. Let's go to verse 11. For there is no respect of person with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, did by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. In a man's heart, even though none of us do right, there is a desire to serve God, whether they had the law or not. People reach out. People want God to exist, whether they want to admit it or not. I think even the founder of the American Atheist Society was a woman. She was murdered viciously by one of her own. And the only way they identified her was from the serial numbers off her hip implant. I wonder when she was dying, when she just gone, I don't believe, I don't believe, I don't believe. I wonder. And there might be people, I've heard of people going out cursing God. But at least they were cursing God because they believed there was a God. Feel sorry for them. Breaks your heart when you hear stuff like that. In Psalms 14, verse 1, it says, the fool had said, where? In his heart, there is no God. Psalms 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of It's the beginning of wisdom. People walk around talking that nonsense. Yeah, God is dead. How could you believe that stuff? Man, you're a fool. You're a fool. And, I just pray, someone's going to plant that seed and someone's going to water it and God's going to give the increase. Even the devils are smart enough to believe in God. Give me a break. I'm just looking at the book of Job. Approach the throne of God. Went right up. Is that where you've been? Oh, to and fro on the earth. He knows and believes and fears and trembles. As misguided as he is. Go to Matthew chapter 8. If this didn't wake up some of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the unbelievers, I don't know what would. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 28. And when he was come to the other side into the country, the Gadarenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tomb, exceeding fear, so that no man might pass by the way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come to torment us? before the time. Even the devils recognize Jesus Christ as the one true God. Kind of like Miracle on 34th Street. You know, the government, the post office recognized that guy as Santa Claus. Even the devils believed and knew who Jesus Christ was. If the devil is smart enough to realize that, what's the matter with mankind? It's just a rebellious, angry spirit. Do not want to be held accountable to anybody. Mark chapter 5. You know, pretty much the same thing. Go down to verse 7. Now we'll start in verse 5. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. You know, that'd bring down the property value if you lived by there. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Every time I look at that, I think of the prodigal son. That father saw him afar off and ran to him. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Even the evil spirits, even the people that were possessed with devils, and this guy had legions in him, recognized Jesus Christ as God. All you really have to do, especially if you're up north in the mountains, here with the smog it's a little tough, but all you really have to do is step outside one night in a clear sky and just look up. That's all you got to do. And you look into that vastness, something speaks to your heart. We're by Romans. Look at Romans chapter 1. Verse 19 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. They're without excuse. There's evidence of God in nature. Wherever you looked. The one thing I like about fishing, I like everything about fishing, but the one thing I like about it, there are times I'll just sit down. I'm just going to sit down. I'll sit down the side of the river or just sit down a boat, put my fishing pole down and just look around. And this is a sin-cursed world. This isn't even God's best because we destroyed it. And I go, oh my gosh. How great thou art. It's evident. It's there. Psalms 19. Psalms 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what country you're from. Every day and every night, man, The heavens declare there is a God. And, you know, Pastor Mike will probably remember this, and it's something that I experienced, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. When our first mission trip, we were in Mexico. I mean, we were out in the boonies. I mean, in the middle of nowhere. I mean, just rocks and mountains, and there was nobody. And we came across this guy, Angel Torres, 74 years old, never heard the name of Jesus Christ. And we were sitting around that van praying, and they had this guy, Cesario, was there. He was an Indian, a Mexican Indian. And I think Ruben was there, translating. And this guy was speaking to this guy, Angel Torres. And he said to him, he says, look around. Look around. The God that we're telling you, He created all this. And that 74-year-old man said, I always knew. I always knew. And that guy got saved. Probably gone home to be with the Lord already, but I'll never forget that. Never heard of Jesus Christ, but just looking around Him. I could picture Him out in those hills and those rocks at night, gazing into heaven, looking at them stars, and just knowing in his heart.
Yes. Amen.
And someone was sent.
That's right. Amen.
Men deny God's existence because they do not want to bend their knee or admit that they're not in control. Romans chapter 14. It should be familiar stuff here. People want to deny that there's a God because it's easier to rebel. It's easier to resist. Don't have to take any orders from anybody. I'm a self-made man. But I often think, if you're in a car accident tonight, and you're in the ER, and all of a sudden, it's kind of dark, you stop hearing the nurses and the doctors around you, working on you, when you come back to consciousness, where are you going to wake up? You can deny all you want, but you're going to wake up one place or the other. You can say there's no Satan. He's real. Okay, Romans 14. Verse 11. For it is written, as I live, and he does, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess. Deny all you want, shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself, not to your accountant, not to your bosses, but to God. Philippians chapter 2. It's not what I want, so this is not what I was supposed to say. Never mind. Okay. Now I gotta go find out what it was supposed to be. You know, in Psalms 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Deny it all you want. It doesn't change anything. It's like people who refuse to pay their taxes. You're going to pay one way or the other. You can deny you owe it, you're going to pay it. You can go through those red lights and take all those speeding tickets you get and stuff and put them aside and say, "Well, you know, I'm not going to pay those. That's a bunch of baloney. I was innocent." They're going to get you. You're going to pay. Like the Fram commercial, "Pay me now or pay me later." Doesn't change anything. You're still going to be held accountable. Hebrews chapter 9. In verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin, unto salvation."
Amen.
You know, Psalms 136. 26 times. Just in Psalms 136. 26 times. Says, "His mercy endureth forever." That's good enough for me. I don't know about you, but that's good enough for me. So don't let anybody tell you there is no God. Because in their heart, they know there is. It's just easy not to bend, bow your knee here if you deny it. Payday someday. Unfortunate. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that we do not serve an unknown God, but we knew